Hello and welcome to the new episode of our podcast, Medicine 3.0, the podcast where experts tell complex health topics in a very simple words. Today's podcast is going to be in English, not as usually in German, so please make sure to turn on the captions for the translation of the podcast so that you can follow everything that we cover in this podcast today. Our guest today is Einar Einarsson. He is from Iceland and a very experienced physical therapist. And here I will give him an option also to introduce himself.
Hi, everyone. And thank you, Ivan, for inviting me to come here and talk. Yeah, I kind of like your name. I know a little bit about German, so Gute Gelenke, I get it. It's a good name for
good joints.
Yeah, good joints. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, I have I finished physical therapy in 1991, so I've been around for a while, I would say, I've done a good bit of things before I became a physical therapist. I finished a course in physical education. I have always been interested in movement. I trained at some point when I was young four sports. I played basketball, I played soccer, I played handball, which people in Germany know handball very well, and I played table tennis. I even made the national team in table tennis. But, you know, coming from Iceland, that doesn't mean a lot, you know. But I could probably beat you, you know. I can beat most normal people. And then I actually gave that up and became a soccer player. That, in the end, became my sport. So I finished 91, as I said, and I did some coaching on the side, too, you know, with kids. And then I just practiced for sort of like 4 or 5 years, and then I added manual therapy certification to my repertoire, if you say that. After that, when I started to read papers, I saw always there's a person there. It's biomedical engineer. So I actually decided that I should learn that. At the age of 30, when I had been in the clinic for a while, I went for a master's degree in biomedical engineering, which I took in Denmark, in Aarhus. It was pretty hard to go back to math, you know, very hard math at the time. But I managed, but I probably have forgotten most of it now. And I would still say, like, everything, I've been fortunate, everything that I've learned has actually helped me to be a better trainer. And I train both healthy people, athletes, or injured. I just always say it's a bit harder to train the injured because we need to be more careful. We need to understand the pathomechanics, both biomechanics and pathomechanics. So this is our job. This is our profession. We need to be really good at training someone that has problems and still be able to train good. And yeah, I have three kids, and you know, they're probably your age, you know, at least some of them. And I just became a granddad, so that just tells you I have some years behind in the back.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So, also one of the reasons why we're meeting up today is specifically to talk about online physical therapy, also with the background that you have a startup where you have built an online platform that provides an offer where a physical therapist can practice also distance physical therapy with the patient while using the platform, the software. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it came almost because of demand. Me and my friend Stefan, which hopefully all of you will meet later, we started a clinic up north in Iceland. Some of our clients, you know, they had to travel maybe 100 kilometers to see us or more. And so we had to make programs for them to train at home. And what did you do then? You did it into an Excel spreadsheet, and you took some videos, and you created hyperlinks and so on. So it took a long time to do this, and then at some point we just started to take videos and build a database with loads of videos. And we looked at other online platforms a little bit as well. We had one called PhysioFix, which was, well, basically that was not an online platform. That was just like drawings in the computer for exercises. Yeah, it's in the early days. Yeah, before COVID, we decided to make a platform on our own. So we started to work on that sort of on the side, because of course we're always busy as physios. There's high demand, and probably you have the same in Germany. There's really high demand for us, at least in Iceland. Yeah. It's a very long waiting list. And well, then COVID came, and then it gave us a little bit more time to work on this. And we launched it actually in Iceland during COVID, which at the time we knew that it wasn't like fully ready, not the way that we wanted it to be. At least, but it's okay in Iceland because it's very small, so almost like everyone knows everyone. If you want to find me in Iceland, just go to the main square and ask people. If you know me, you know, soon enough someone will know me. But anyway, that's why it's also a good test market, and so we used it there. We've been using it there for a long time, and to make sure we clean all the bugs and make it ready. And yeah, that's how it started. There was another element to it. We worked with a company in Iceland that manufactured EMG, the first wireless EMG, and that helped us to understand the exercises that we were doing much better. So we had it on a lot, and that's sort of, we started to create exercises because of that. And with clients, we needed to change maybe muscle activation. So we started to figure out how can we get this muscle going and so on. So those are the tricks that we have in our professions. You know, we because there is pathology, we might have inhibitions, and that's why we need to sometimes be innovative, don't we, to figure out how can we get things going, how can we move on.
So basically, the online physical therapy is structured a little bit differently than in-person physical therapy. How would you say, how does it differ from a regular physical therapy, like the physical therapy in person? What are the differences?
Well, obviously, we in our profession, we're a bit hands-on sometimes, and so that part is missing. However, if you are, and I know this from experience, if I got the people to do the training, I knew I would get results. I think that's one of the good things, because if people come to online physical therapy, they really know that this is about getting advice. This is about telling the therapist about my problem, maybe showing or sharing videos. Actually, you can do that in our platform. You can send in a video. We have what we call a educational platform as well, where we will provide education to the physical therapist or the trainers that are on our platform. And but also you can use that to provide education to your clients. And you can do that. So you consider them a student. That's what I do when I have someone. I really, you know, I need to teach you how to take care of yourself. And that is, I need to teach you what to do and so on. So that's what I'm doing. I will educate my people to help themselves. And that's how it's different. So in a way, that is also good, because you sort of know from start what is going to happen. The downside is, of course, that you don't have the person in the room, which, of course, as physios, we would like that, especially for the assessment. I would try to, if the people can come to me, that is good, and then I will do the assessment there, and then that is enough. After that, they can train through the platform. I might call them in, maybe in 3 weeks or four or something like that, and I look at you again, or I actually use the communication part of the platform and I update their programs, which I can do every day if I want to. And then, in fairness, I've done both. One of them was in Asia, and you know, it's, people travel, and then I see athletes that are maybe competing in Sweden or in Germany even, or some of the footballers that played in Germany. And so this is, you know, yes, very helpful. And it really helps me to do my job better. That's what I would claim. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if other people with me or not.
So very often you have the certain patients, so they are not able to perform the exercise correctly. So within in-person session, it's very easy to correct the patient so that they do them in a correct way. How can you ensure that while you're doing online physical therapy, that the patient actually understands and does the exercise correctly?
So at least in our software, we have videos with everything, and they are pretty clear. So the execution there is easily applicable, and they can send me messages. They can send me for each exercise. They can send me a text, and they could say, "Look, I'm not sure about this one, or I have pain in the middle of the range, or so on." And then I can either guide them again through the text message, or I can jump on a call with them, or like I said, I can ask them, "Can you please send me a video or upload a video of your execution, and we can have a look at that again." There are a few ways to do that, so it depends obviously of how serious is the problem or how hard is this, and so on. That's part of it. I always, when I train, I don't expect people to do things perfectly, not all the time. I would always say, if you train this, you will get better. And then I will say, you're good enough to train it. And then we'll move from there. And I will ask the client, are you happy to train it? Because sometimes I think we press too much to get the perfect execution, but none of us is perfect anyway. We need the body to be able to take up a load in different ways. But it definitely does have to make sense, though. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to regress and say, this is not going to work, and we find another exercise.
I can imagine that certain patients are very well served, specifically with an online exercise or physical therapy platform, and certain patients might have difficulties using that. So what is the main, target group or the main clientele for the online physical therapy? What would you say is best suited for that case?
Well, I worked a bit with CrossFitters. With them, they need to know what to do. That's what they need to know. And sometimes you also have to adjust their training, because they're very risky to go to overload. And so we have to go through, like, how do you even train better and rest good and those kind of things. But and then you can look at techniques, etc. But if you give them a program, you know they will do it. That's for sure. And I find the elderly population, if they are usually very diligent about things, you know. The struggle with them is, and they are also very grateful for everything that you do. We're all aware of that. That's usually the case. The problem with them is they're not so tech savvy. So in that case, I would try to find a grandchild in the family that is around 20, and the problem is solved. I have had some nice results. I remember one lady, I helped her purely through online physical therapy, and the grandchild came and helped her to do the exercise. So this was a very positive. Mm-hmm. She said, "Look, I'm winning double here. My grandson is coming to help me and train me, and I'm getting better." And she got back on the court. But yeah, on those cases, it's the problem with that. They're not so used to this as the younger people are. But in generally, though, the world is getting more used to these things, you know. So I haven't had a lot of obstacles, actually. It's just that in case of the elderly, I usually make sure that they have someone with them at least at the start to make sure this works.
So I can imagine then they need some form of equipment to actually participate in online physical therapy, something like a laptop or a phone. Or how do you usually structure the sessions?
I usually would do it with a laptop at the beginning, at least, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can even change to a phone during session. And that is merely if I want them to film something from me, you know, like a knee to wall test or a squat, or you know, mm-hmm. what we use to evaluate movements. So then I would do that, either do it right away or get them to send them to me. Mm-hmm. Often, actually, Ivan, I have, and this saves us time. Often I get the history before, so I can read the history, and then I can even ask them to upload videos before I meet them, which again is going to save time for everyone. So I even try to do that now, because I think we all know that, especially in our busy world, that sometimes we have to be careful in a physical therapy session not to waste time to talk too much. Unfortunately, even though we have to try to be happy, we have to do the work, right? So yeah, that saves time to do it like that.
Mm. I can imagine that different patients have different needs, so you have to adjust the exercise programs individually for every patient. Yeah. Does the platform has any options on how to personalize exercise selection? And since that is also very time consuming to actually set up the exercise platform, how do you go about that aspect? Do you provide any pre-made exercise plans?
I actually think we did a good job there. We thought about this from start. And what do we know? We know that we have, for the most common application, for the most common injuries, if we use the word array, there is an array of exercises that are going to work for this problem. And so what we did, we labeled all the exercises in the platform based on difficulty. Like level 4 is the hardest exercises, level 1 is the easiest one, and so on. And so then we made programs, both short and long programs, for a lot of common injuries. Let's say we take low back, we have flexion-related low back pain, or we have extension-related low back pain, or we have a discogenic low back pain, and we have a facet syndrome or whatever. And we created programs for these conditions. So the program that you will open, and this is the quickest way to get a program going, will have maybe slightly more exercises than you need. But the thing is, it's actually much quicker to select exercises away than to find exercise and put into the program. You can do the both ways. But to select away, if you look at the program and you see, okay, yeah, I like these things, but it's not going to do that and that and that, it takes you less than a minute to take them away. They are also there with predefined training variables. And I'm going to give a lecture on, I want to give a lecture on training variables. I've done it a lot of times. I worked a lot in sports, and I was a teacher in sports science as well, the University of Reykjavik. These things are important, and we can use them to our benefits in so many ways. And we have to admit that the SNC coaches are better than us in that. So we have to take that knowledge and put that into our practice. Anyway, so they are predefined as well, and you can change them very quickly too. And you can happily send program away in less than 5 minutes or even 3 minutes, and you know it's a good program. And it's a busy day, but maybe later that day you can go in again and adjust it, because that is the beauty of it. You can adjust it anytime. I would ask my patient, okay, if you can do all the exercises in this program without any problems, I'm going to upgrade your program. You get level 2. I sent him all the levels, and he just came back to me and said, thank you very much, I'm good. So that it can be that simple. It's not always that simple, of course. Most of them are not, in fairness. They need more guidance than that. But it's still, that's the way that we have designed our programs. So they are predefined. I believe there are over 600. In our platform. Another thing that I actually like as well is that once you have done, and especially if you are working in a clinic and you have a consensus on how you want to do things, and maybe for the most common ones, you can take a program, you modify it, and you save it in your clinic space. So then it's just kept there as the library of the clinic. Not what we call a public library are these programs that are for everyone. And then you can have your own library in the clinic. And another good thing there, which I also like, is you can share a program with your colleague. So if you go for a vacation or whatever, you can share the information with your colleague very easily. You can invite your colleague into the program. So those are there are some of the good features that I like about this. Mm-hmm. In generally, I find it easy to use. Mm.
And how would you track progress of a patient? Like to say, okay, he goes from level one to level two. Are there any ways on how to track the progress of a patient?
Yeah, so the software does that automatically. The patient will mark if he has done the exercise. Mm-hmm. So we can see for every training session that he has done, how many of the exercises he has done, so we can track the progress there. And we are still working on this part. That is the part that we still want to develop and take further. So you know, to have a even better feedback system, put in the like the patient outcome scales and the NRS and so on in there as well. You know, so that's a work in progress, and we started that work. And yeah, I think that is one of the things that, you know, it's very unlikely that people cheat, because they have to mark what they do. Of course you can, but I don't think, you know, we can convince them. You just put in zero. It's better for me to know that you did not do it than if you do it. And don't be afraid to put in a zero if you didn't do it. And so mm-hmm. it gives you an idea. And then sometimes you can say, look, I can explain why you're not better. You haven't trained. And then they admit it. And sometimes you just have to put it forward, don't you? Our job is not to fix you. Our job is to help you to help yourself. And you know, that's how I look at physical therapy. And that's also one of the things that I think are very beneficial when you use a platform like that, is it actually gets the activation in. You have the engagement from the patient, don't you? Mm-hmm. Which we often miss, and we become too passive in our approach. And in the end, being too passive, soft tissue manipulations, dry needling, mm-hmm. acupuncture, whatever we do, all of those are fine. In the end, we still know the training is the best sustainable results that you get, and there is no doubt about that. And if we look at all the low back pains, all the studies, all of them show that. Using a tool like that, it helps you actually to push that a bit and to make people responsible for their health. I encourage all my physios, everyone, if I teach, get them to train. In the end, it's the best thing.
Yeah, I fully agree with that aspect of physical therapy. But in certain cases, you might even need to see the patient to perform some form of an assessment or maybe a manipulation technique.
Yeah, sure.
Specifically, while treating a patient online, that can be a bit problematic. Are there any ways on how to handle that issue with the platform?
We have a lot of self-mobility exercises, a lot of them in there. I think about taping sometimes. I will send them taping videos, and I have some, you know, which I make on the spot. I need sometimes a help from a physical therapist or a soft tissue therapist that they can go to, you know, that lives close by. So I would call in people if I need that, you know, if they're not close to me. Mm-hmm. But I would guide that person as well. What can you do for me? You know, mm-hmm. because in some cases it might be a soft tissue therapist. But if you have to say it's actually good for everyone to have a network of people that you trust, and then you go to them, right? In your mm-hmm. in your vicinity. Obviously, Germany is way bigger than Iceland, so people might live far away and so on. But I guess in Germany, this is even more helpful, because commuting can be a big deal and takes longer time. And so this definitely takes away some of the commuting time. We mm-hmm. just used it because we were treating farmers and someone who lived in the Nest Valley or, you know, mm-hmm. up north.
I can imagine that certain patients, when they have an exercise program, they lose motivation, or it's difficult for them to stick up with a routine to perform the exercises in a certain frequency. How do you solve that problem? How do you help patients to stick with their exercise program?
We can then look at what have they put in? Have they done something? And if not, then I could give them encouragement through the text message, and I would do that. I would even ask, I see that you haven't trained in at all, or you have done very little, so please come back to me. And there might be a reason for that. And often it is, actually, you know. Another thing that I like to do is to, you know, let's say that you have a program for your knee, but I would still give them program for the upper body as well. You know, just a general program so that they can feel like healthy as well. So they train the healthy parts as well. I'll just give them good exercises for that. And so they don't always have to train their knee. Sometimes they would say, well, I'm going to rest. On this day, I'm not training the knee, but I'm training. I'm just training something else, which I think is good because it's routine, isn't it? If we get people into routine, it's always better. We all know that. I guess we all of us even struggle, you know, after the summer to get back into routine. But since we are physios, we are actually more likely than most people to still get there and train ourselves. So those are the ways that I would use for that.
Specifically in Germany, data privacy is a big topic. How does the platform ensures that the patient data stays secure?
This is the regulation with the general data protection. I think there is a label on that. So we have that. Obviously, when people are sharing things with you, what I would do, I would make sure that they are clear that they are sharing this with me, and that is okay. Probably the easiest way would be to have a document and send it to them and sign them. But actually, I don't know if you know, but email is legally binding in Europe. It's always legally binding. So if they actually answer you, you have a question, are you okay sharing data with me? And you send it by email and they answer yes, you are actually legally protected. So that is one of the ways to do that.
Does the platform offer any additional support for the patient or the physical therapist in form of, as you previously mentioned, that you want to build up an educational platform and also some form of community aspect for the physical therapists? What exactly can you tell us about that offer?
Yeah, so that is a platform where you actually, like I said, you have students, and your patients or your clients are our students as well. We are actually not only treating them, we are also guiding them. And so I would say always educate your people. And then we have this educational platform where everyone has its own space, and you can communicate with your clients through that. So they can send you information there, and you can send them information there. You can also create courses. You could create online courses, like your clinic could say, okay, this is our material for how to deal with acute low back pain, just the advices that you need to know in those circumstances. And then you can say, I'm going to send you that data here, you know, easily over that platform, and you have it ready. You can invite people to courses on that. So you can give courses, you can hold courses, you can invite people to courses through that platform. So you can manage those there. And what we are going to do is to provide education for the people that are using our platform. And that is, we are a group of very experienced physical therapists. And so we will provide with webinars. And that's, so we think, like, we want to help every physio that is using our platform, or every trainer, to perform. Basically, that's how we see it. You will see that we actually have a lot to say, and we are ready to educate, and we have done it actually for a long time. Some of us, for me, it's been a part of my life for a long time. And, you know, I don't know if hopefully this could end up me visiting Berlin or Germany and give a course there, hands-on course as well, which I would be very happy to do. And all of us as well. We, even though like me and Stefan are similar in some ways, we are also very different. You know, I've been focusing a lot on foot and ankle. I've done some studies on knee, on ACL. And now I'm working a lot on muscle injuries. I still get the low back pain patients here because 90% of athletes, they will experience low back pain. So we see them all the time. And then again, I actually have a good story about one that he was a burden on the physios. I'm very proud of that. Now he's just seeing physio once in a while. He knows how to take care of himself. It took a while, but got him there. So that's the way we want to do it. We really want to give some knowledge sharing. Yeah, that is important for us.
So where do you see the future of online physical therapy, and what kind of role your platform specifically can play in that?
I would say it's there to stay. That's for sure. And it's definitely, it's capacity based as well. We have so much to do that we need to be more efficient. And the healthcare is asking for solutions like this for the physical therapist and every healthcare practitioner. Can you be more efficient? And then we have to say, okay, if we use the technology in a good way, yes, probably we can. And then we have to use the technology to help us do that. There are some developments with computer vision, and we are also working on that. I do think sometimes you actually stretch too far with the technology. I feel in this case that is happening, you know, because I don't feel the need for someone to use computer vision to like count every rep that you do, and definitely I even don't like it if we say everyone has to be put in the same form, because that's not the truth. It's not like that. We have to be more like personalized in our approach, and people need to be robust. We need to create robustness as well with athletes or with people in their general life. They just have to tolerate that the body can turn and twist. We should be able to do that, right? So we shouldn't forget that part of it as well. And so there is some frame, but it shouldn't be that constrained always. But for analysis, I can see that be helpful, you know, because that's done with the phone, isn't it? So in the case today, we would use a video, but in the future, maybe we take in the computer vision, and then we can sort of have objective data about range of motions and things like that. So I could see it come in there, for cool. Sure.
So there might be some physical therapists who are also listening to this podcast. Is there something you want to tell them in regards to the platform, something they should consider?
Absolutely. You can go to the PT Assistance platform and you can ask for a trial, or hopefully that they can be guided by you as well. And the platform it has language support. So and it's actually translated to Germany and English and Swedish and Icelandic. But if you are treating a client, which I believe we have in all countries like immigrants, you can switch to Arabic easily. And I have some Arabic friends, and they told me it's actually pretty good because the Arabic language is not as complex as ours. And it's used in Turkey. There are people that have tested it there, and they've been very happy with that as well. If I want to find an exercise, rotation, you know, I would put in rotation, low back. I go into the areas. So the exercises are categorized by areas. So I could go low back, rotation, and then I would get the rotational exercises in a row, and I can just select them and pull them into the exercise. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can go in and try. And there are educational videos like inside the platform, and should be helpful to get you started.
All right. Yeah, I wish everyone to encourage to actually at least have a look at the platform. We will also have a link below in the description where you can find the platform and have a look at it and check it out. And for today, I want to say thank you to Einar for providing us with his knowledge and his time. And I think we will hear more about the platform and specifically online physical therapy on this channel and in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ivan. Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.